the day when the Lord saved me. All heaven came down. I was happy and free. Hey, man, some of y'all don't look like you're happy and free.
Amen.
Hey, man. I remember the day, thank God. How many of y'all remember that first New Year's Eve after you got saved? Y'all remember the first New Year's Eve? I do. I remember the first New Year's Eve after I got saved. I was in church for the first time. I was in church. And I'll never forget, we watched a movie called the, Eternal Hell. And now, if you look at, all the things that they showed, if you look at the movie now, you'd say, man, what a mess. I mean, that was laughable, you know, the way the movies are made today. They got so much, reality looks like in the movies. And that movie, you know, they made up, had a real low budget and all that stuff. But it was still, at that time, in the 70s, it was still scary. And I was just at the altar thanking God for saving my soul. Amen. And that was 1974. I got saved September. And then the first New Year's Eve, Linda and I was in church on New Year's Eve, going into 1975. So we were saved in 74. Linda was saved in November 74. I was saved in September 74. And I wanted her to get saved. And I wanted her to, you know, and we didn't know what God was going to do with our lives. We didn't know. Here we are 40-some years later, and we see what God's done. And her and I can rejoice in knowing that we made the right decisions and heading down the right path. So that's a blessing. Galatians chapter 6, if you would, and look at Galatians chapter 6. And we're going to start reading the Bible every once in a while. I wrote this down, got this out of a book. It says, a lifetime in minutes. If you're 15 years old, every 70 years, the Bible says 70 years, if you get 80, that's a blessing. And some people live past that. Dr. Ruttman died at 94, Linda's dad, 92. And some people are living, 88, 90, stuff like that. But a guy broke down his mathematically calculated schedule, which compares a lifetime to 60 years and 10, with the hours of a single day from 7 in the morning to 11 at night. If your age is 15, you are at 10:25 a.m. If you're 20 years old, you're at 11:34 a.m. If you're 25, you're at 12:42 p.m. If you're 30, you're at 1:51 p.m. If you're 35, time is 3 o'clock. If you're 40, the time is 4:08. If you're 45, the time is 5:16. If you're 50, the time is 6:25. If you're 55, the time is 7:34. Now we're going up to 11 o'clock. If you're 60, that's where we're at, Linda and I, 61, we'll be 62 this coming up year. We're at 8:42. That's the time I usually like to go to bed. No, about 10 o'clock when I usually go to bed, but 8:42. If you're 65, you're at 9:51. And at 70, your clock is at 11 p.m. So, man, I tell you what, that's something else. And you think about time. And God's given us time. And I thank God that we've got more years on this side of Calvary than we have in the backside. And let's take a Bible look in Galatians chapter 6. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual... Now, I wonder how many people are, if you know if somebody is taken in a fall, how many are spiritual? In 2018, we don't know what 2018 is holding. I mean, people make resolutions. They make all kinds of stuff. And some people right now sitting in here made some promises to God in 2017, and you haven't kept. And here we are at the end of 2017, and you're not living for God, or you're not doing what you should be doing for the Lord like you said you was going to do. And you're not at that point in your life. And I realize, folks, if this time thing, as long as you, there's some men in the Bible, you read like Asa started out right, but he didn't finish right. There's some people that start out right and don't finish right. Saul started right, but he didn't finish right. David started out right, but he wavered in the middle, and then he finished right. Now, there's a lot of people in the Bible, they start right, but then they don't finish right. You ought to be one of them Christians that say, Lord, you said, I want to finish right. I want to finish right in my life. As a Christian, I want to finish my life serving God. I want to be able to say, when I lay my head on the pillow and the Lord takes me home, I want to be able to say, I finished right. Paul said, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the Lord Jesus laid up for me. And that's not the right thing, but it was close to it. But you ought to want to finish right. And, you know, a pessimist, I guess I'm more of an optimist, but I'm pessimistic at times. How many people in here say, I'm an optimist? Raise your hand. How many more people are pessimists? Yeah. Pessimists. Now, where's the rest of you at? Where are you all at? Realist, okay? Now, Jesus Christ was a realist. But Jesus Christ, at times, when it came to his children, he was optimistic. But when it came to the world, he was pessimistic. And I wrote this down. A pessimist says, if I don't try, I can't fail. And I know a lot of them. If I don't try, I can't fail. But you'll never accomplish anything. An optimist says, if I don't try, I can't win. If I don't try. And a lot of people get saved. We've seen a lot of people throughout the years, 31 years now being here, we've seen a lot of people get saved. They start right, but then you say, where are they? Are they going to finish right? That's what we pray. That's why on Wednesday night we get together. We pray, God, bring them back. God, help our fruit remain. May our fruit produce more fruit. We're praying for that. And we want to see our kids finish right. We want to see our grandkids finish right. But we've got to be examples to them. Yeah. We've got to be those examples that they can say, hey, they did it. We can do it. I want to be optimistic when it comes to serving God. I want to be a realist when it comes to the world. And the pessimist, I'm going to say, I know the world ain't my friend. You know, the Bible says we got three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we always say this, the world can't stop you from serving God. The world can't stop you. The devil can't stop you from serving God. But you can. Amen. Think about that. I mean, two-thirds of what God says your enemy is can't stop you. And the one that stops you is you. It's you. The Bible says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. What you ought to pray this year, God, help me to help restore somebody. Help me to restore somebody, get them back in church, get them back living for God, doing what's right. We pray all the time for people around here. Praying, God, get them back in. God, get them back in. Get them back in. He said, well, man, what use is it? I mean, it seems like we don't see nothing. Oh, we will. We will. It will. It'll come back. It says, bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You want to know what you can do in 2018? Bear one another's burdens. The Wednesday night service is the least amount service that's attended. Because why? So, well, people are taking up prayer requests. We're praying. But I'll tell you what, you can get in there and pray for people. Yeah. Pray for their needs. Bear one another's burdens. Yeah. It's the least service ever attended, but it's the most important service. Yeah. When it comes to prayer, I'm praying for the things and needs of the church, praying for our missionaries around the world. Now, look, we're going to get down here. It says, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. A lot of people walk around thinking they're somebody. Yeah. I said this many times. We was at camp. I was a boy there named Todd Bennett. Todd Bennett was top 10 in the motocross racing. And Todd Bennett is still serving the Lord now. And he would jump on the buses and jump over us preachers. Be on top of the bus, he'd jump over the buses. And Todd Bennett, he went to his parents at 17 years old. And he said, man, I had to run a sponsor for Budweiser in my racing. And he told his parents he was giving up all that stuff. And they went crazy. Because he was on his way to make $1 million as a 17-year-old kid. And Todd Bennett said, I'm going to give it up. I'm tired of this mess. He's, I got saved. And we used to sing that song, you're nothing but a nothing, you're nothing. And what, you know, if you keep that in your mind, I'm nothing, but God looks at me as something. Amen. I'm nothing to the world. The world looks at you, but the Bible says, when a man thinks himself to be something, when you start thinking you have arrived, look out, you're heading for a fall. The Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. If a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. It says, let every man prove his own work. God's given every man in this room, every woman in this room, he's giving you a work to do. And you say, well, I don't know what it is. Oh, well, there's plenty of work to be done. You know, I was telling the guys this morning, I said, you know, Eddie even quoted, he said, the labors are few. The labors are few. The harvest is great, but the labors are few. And there's a lot of people dying and going to hell and need to get saved. Your loved ones, your family, your friends. When's the last time you cried and begged God for them? You say, well, I pray for them all the time. Keep on praying. Don't give up. Keep on keeping on. And don't give up on that prayer. It says, but let every man prove his own work. It says, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. I mean, you'll be able to say, thank you, Lord, for answering prayer. Thank you, God, for being so good to me. The Bible tells us over in Ephesians chapter 5, look with me over in Ephesians chapter 5, look with me. It's going to be simple this morning somewhat. Ephesians chapter 5, and look what it says. Ephesians 5, and look at verse 16. Ephesians 5, 16. It says in verse 16, it says, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. It says, wherefore be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, make a melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God. And you say, all things. It says all things, no matter what. Thank the Lord for it. It says, unto God the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Talking about husband and wife. It says, submitting yourself. Be not drunk with wine. It says, redeeming the time. It says, look at verse 15. I like this verse. See then that ye walk not circumspectly, not as what?
Fools.
Not as what?
Fools.
But as wise. Are you going to be a wise person in 2018, or are you going to be a fool as a child of God? You're going to be a wise child of God, or are you going to be a fool? We got a lot of plans for 2018. My family has a lot of plans. We got Josh getting married, him and Kylie getting married in 2018. Michael, Shane, and Brittany getting ready to get married in 2018. We got another young couple talking about getting married in 2018. We've got some others that's planning things, but there's some things that come unexpected that we don't know what's coming. We don't know what's going to come around the corner. We don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. Because the Bible says, what is your life but a vapor? It appears for a little while and then vanishes away. You might not be here next year. You might not make it through next year. Or next year might be your appointed time. My appointed time. I don't know that. The Bible says, redeem the time, for the days are evil. It says, let every man prove, back to Galatians chapter 5 or 6. It says, let every man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. Every man shall bear his own burden. I mean, folks, we try to get somebody else to bear our burdens, and we try to pass it on to somebody else. And we do bear one another's burdens in that sense. And it's good to have a brother or sister in Christ that you can call and say, hey, I got this going on in my life. Will you pray for me? And can you help me? Can you? And we try to do that. And I can name people in this church. I can sit around, look around the room. I know people that we can call that I know they'll pray. I know they'll seek God. I know they'll call on God to help a brother or sister in Christ. Why? They have a heart for it. They have a heart for other people, and especially brothers and sisters in Christ. Then the Bible tells us this. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. It's a command to be able to, it's talking about being taught in the word, communicate unto him that searches in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. The reaping process, brother, goes two ways. And it says, he that soweth through his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth through the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And you can't kid yourself. When it comes to this verse, don't kid yourself. You reap what you sow. The law of sowing and reaping. I know when we're saved, God's cleansed us. He forgave us. He's washed us in his blood. He forgave us of the past. But the very present, the day you got saved, I got saved September 30th, 1974. From that day forward, I've got to give an account of myself, my own work that I've done since I've been saved. And God says, don't deceive yourself. That one day, you're going to have to stand before me and give an account. You're going to have to stand up here in front of me at the judgment seat of Christ and give account of yourself. 2018 ought to be a sobering time. We read it says, be not drunk with wine when it's excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. It ought to be a sobering time coming up. 2018 is a year. Maybe our Lord will come. Maybe he'll come 2018. I mean, man, with the world, people looking at the news, all the world going on, I'm sitting here looking at the calendar thinking, 2018, 18, three sixes. And 20, divided in half is 10, number of Gentiles. Maybe, I mean, I think about all that stuff. Think about maybe the Lord come back this year. Maybe the Antichrist is going to show up. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you, I want to think soberly. I want to be busy about serving him. I don't want to kid myself thinking, oh, our Lord delay his coming. He's not coming back. I ain't worried about that. I got plenty of time. I might not. I might not have plenty of time. I mean, man, you need to be prepared for the coming of the Lord. You need to look for his appearing. There's five crowns up here. We went through this thing all the night. There's five crowns that every Christian can have. It'd be terrible for people at Faith Baptist Church. We get there and we look around and Faith Baptist Church is there and nobody gets a crown. Nobody. 2018, 17, 16, all the way down, nobody really earned a crown to be able to serve the Lord and be able to honor him. I mean, the devil, I said this, the devil can't defeat you because greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. And God says, it says, resist the devil and he'll flee. I mean, God's given you the ability through his word to be able to fight the world, the flesh, and the devil. But the ones that defeat us is usually ourselves. We get feeling sorry for ourselves. I mean, I think among Christians, the biggest thing that I can put my finger on, say, how do you know? Because I know me. You feel sorry for yourself. Think, man, I deserve better than this. I should have more than this. I should do this. I should do that. But you know, if the truth be known, we should be in hell with our back broken, our eyes scratched out. The truth be known. So, preacher, I don't look at it that way. Well, you're not looking at it right. Said, well, I'm an optimist. Well, optimist is I want to serve God and please him. I got something to do. I've got a crown to win. And a lot of pessimists sit around and say, I ain't going to get involved. I ain't getting involved. I ain't getting involved. I ain't getting involved because that way I can't fail. Well, you've already failed. You've already failed. Now, look here. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You mock God. If God's giving you life, he's giving you an opportunity to serve him. He's giving you all these things. And you know what? You mock him by way you live. You mock him by what you do. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. There it is. Sometimes when you sow to the flesh, other people suffer. Other people reap. Look, take your Bible, look in John chapter 4. When you sow to the flesh, you say, I just want to take it easy, man. I just want to live my life and not be bothered by nobody. I just want to take it easy. That God never intended that to happen. God never intended that. He intended you to, when you got saved, to give your life to him and give your life for a purpose. David said, is there not a cause? There is a cause. 2018, there is a cause to keep serving God. There's a cause for this church on Brian Zion Road in Smyrna and Route 300 or Whitten Pond Road. There's a purpose for this church to be here. And you represent this church. You represent, you say, well, what do you tell people when they say, where do you go to church at? I go to Faith Baptist Church. Do you represent the church well? Do you represent the Lord well? Look at John chapter 4, verse 36. John 4, 36, look at this. It says, he that reapeth receiveth wages and gather fruit unto eternal life. Both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. You know, my children are reaping the benefits and the negatives of my wife and I past life in our life now. I can see some of the bad things that was in my life and her life, especially in my wife's life, really bad, and my children. He said, what do you do? I don't point it out to them. I pray for it. I pray God help them. Help them not to reap bad things, but to reap good things. I have a fear. I pray, God, don't let my children get divorced and my grandkids be torn apart. I pray that. Say, is that right to pray? Yes, sir. Now you say, well, I've been through a divorce. I've been through all that. Well, then right now, just do the right thing right now and pray now for the right man, the right woman, the right person in your life. Do the right thing. 2018 we as a church could see people in our church divorce. We could see people pass away. We can see people getting married. We're going to see people get married. We can see a lot of things. At 2018, we don't know what holds, but God does. Now look on down. It says, let us not be weary. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Now the Bible tells us, well, you're going to reap if you don't faint. And what I've seen people do, I've seen people faint in the way. I've seen people turn back. I've seen people quit. I've seen people all that after being here this long. And that brothers and sisters in Christ, I got a call this morning that what made me think about this message. I got a call this morning right before I came out. And a preacher called me up and said, I'm resigning my church this morning. All I could do was listen. And went, my God, starting out the year, I'm resigning. I can't take it no more. I got on my knees and started praying for that preacher. The Bible tells us, let us not be weary in well-doing. There's times, man, you want to run. You want to run away from your problems. You want to run away from the sorrow. You want to run away from the financial stress. You want to run away from it. I just want to get away. I just wish I could be on vacation all year long. It ain't going to happen, man. Even if you went on vacation, you still got to pay bills. You still got to go. You can run away, but you can't hide. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Hey, man, just rejoice. God, you've given me something to do. You've given me a purpose in life. If you don't have a purpose in life, come see me. I can give you something to do. David said there's a cause. There is a cause in this life. If you're saved, and just as a Faith Baptist Church, we're saved, we got a purpose. You say, what's the purpose, preacher? It's to win people to Jesus Christ, encourage the saints of God. This is a hospital for the sick saints. This is a place where people can come and get revived. At least we pray it is.
Yeah.
It says, be not weary in well-doing. I mean, every Sunday morning, I would love for you, everybody in this room, have to sit up here and watch the faces of people as they come through those doors. Very seldom do you find somebody come in and going, woo, glory to God, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I can go to church this morning. What a blessing. I'm going to sing songs for Jesus Christ. Very seldom you ever see that. If you all seen that, you'd say, man, I'm going to get out of here. I want to get out. And you say, all right, preacher, come on, preacher. Come on, preacher, stir me up. Yeah. Try to. Give me something. I'd like to see you do it. Mm-hmm. So that ain't my calling. Right, that's right. Maybe it ain't. But I'll tell you what you ought to be doing is you ought to be praying before you come to church. Yeah. You ought to be stirring yourself up like David did when everybody was talking about killing him. You ought to stir up yourself and say, Lord, thank you for saving him. Thank you for your mercy. We sing, I remember the day when the Lord saved me. All heaven came down. I was happy and free. Man, I'll tell you what, you ought to be going, woo, glory. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. That might, your children will go, what happened to mama? Why is daddy getting like excited about that? Because it is a great day.
Yeah.
Be not weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Take your Bible, look over in Luke chapter 18. Look over to Luke chapter 18. Look over here. Look what the Bible says in Luke chapter 18. Jesus Christ talking. Like I said, Jesus was a realist, but he was also an optimist when it came to his children. But he says this. He said this about prayer. He said, man, in 2018, you better pray. You better pray. And you better be praying for our country. You say, wouldn't it be terrible if you always complained about our country and never prayed about it? You never asked God to keep our country free? I mean, we got terror attacks. We got people, killings on the streets of America all over the cities, and people are dying every day. I mean, there's all kinds of dying all over the world today. I mean, North Korea threatening, Iran threatening, all these other threats. The answer to the world problems we all know is Jesus Christ. And what you be praying, so why should I be praying? For God protection for my family, and even so, come Lord Jesus. You know what people say? Well, hold off a little longer, Lord Jesus. We don't want you to come back right now. I ain't ready for it. Why ain't you ready?
Yeah.
Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Look what Jesus said. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint.
Yeah.
Not to faint. Man, you ought to be praying. Look what the Bible, he gives you an example here. He's saying, there was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came on to him saying, avenge me of my adversary. He would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, Jesus is telling the people, say, here's what you need to do. You keep on praying about it. You keep on keeping on. You keep, man, because you're going to reap if you faint not. You're going to reap. You're going to reap good things. And he says, he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming will she weary me. And then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which a day cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find what? Faith on the earth. You know, I've noticed of our church, I've noticed people in our church that were strong at the beginning of last year. You're weak now. You're weak. Why? Is it God's fault? No. You don't pray like you used to? You don't talk to God no more? You said, what's the use? You're starting to faint. You know, you can always tell when somebody's starting to faint. They start looking off in the distance. I watch people come to church, they're sitting there like, there's no rejoicing. There's no movement at all, and they're just staring out. About ready to fall over. God have mercy. The Bible says, "You be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not." Take your Bible, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I preached this message here before, but I figured this is due. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look what it says. 2 Corinthians 4, look at verse 1. I mean, folks, we know God is all-powerful. We know God can take care of any problem we got. How many of y'all can say amen to that?
Amen.
We know God can do it. I remember doctors used to tell us in the classroom, he said, boy, if you can just get Jesus to speak the words, your problem will be taken care of. And one problem that we'd be taken care of for all of us if he just said, come up hither. Amen. If he just speak the word. But when you're praying, he says, don't faint in your prayer. And he'd give you an example there. Then he says, don't faint in your confidence. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Everybody here, if you're in this church, this building this morning, you have a ministry. You have a ministry. So what is that ministry? Is it paid? Oh, yeah, the benefits are out of this world, man. It's a ministry. It's a ministry of prayer. It's a ministry of encouragement, of exhortation. It's a ministry of encouragement. The Bible says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, and it's talking about honesty, being honest to you, being honest to your brother, being honest in the world, that the world will say, hey, man, I know them people. They're honest. They're not going to steal from you. They're not going to hurt you. They're going to stand for what's right. Look at this. It says, but have renounced the hidden things of what? Has renounced it. You know how you renounce it? You said, that's wrong. That's wrong. I'm not going to steal. I'm going to tell you this. If you're not giving to God, that's dishonesty. I'm not trying to make a plug for this church to get your money. I'm just saying, brothers and sisters, I tell you what, if you don't give to God, and you say, well, I just give him a dollar or two. My dad used to do that. I'd be sitting there with my dad in a church service. I'd tithe. I'd give a tithe. And my dad would go, that's too much money. I said, Dad, that's what I'm doing. That's the right thing to do. I was Old Testament, but I said in the New Testament, we should do better in the Old Testament and New Testament. So my dad would say, he'd put a dollar. He'd have a $50 bill in his wallet. I'd grab a $50 bill and try to take it out. He'd go, man, he'd fight me right in the pew over that thing. No, they got plenty of money. Yeah, my foot. It says, and have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man conscience in the sight of God. For if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. See, he's saying you've got to be honest in your dealings. You got to be honest out to the world so the world will see that Jesus Christ is real in your life. Be honest. Don't steal time. Don't steal money. Don't steal things. Don't take things that don't belong to you. Do what right, honestly, rightly. Do what's right. He says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. I mean, folks, we have a ministry of honesty, of the hidden things that nobody sees, that nobody knows. Honest. Being honest with yourself. You know, the Bible says if a man deceiveth himself, talking about deception, you can deceive yourself in thinking that you're all right. Everything's all right. When a preacher preaches, I always examine myself. You say, well, I've heard that before, and you sit there and judge a guy while he's preaching. When a guy preaches, I judge myself. I check it out. You know, the Bible says if you judge yourself, you'll not be judged. You're supposed to judge sin in your life. You don't sit around and say, well, you know, I think he's talking about so-and-so over there. I think so-and-so really needs that. No, man. You say, Lord, is that me? Well, if thank you, Lord, for the message. I need it. Help me just be honest. Help me be honest with myself. Honest in the world. Honest in my dealings. Look what it says. And not walking in craftiness. Not trying to be crafty. Being deceitful. It says, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I worked with a bunch of men, roofers and all this stuff, when I worked with them, and I wouldn't laugh at their dirty jokes. I wouldn't drink their beer. I wouldn't sit around and while they're smoking the dope. After I got saved, I told you all this. After I got saved, I wanted to do what's right, and I worked with a bunch of roofers. They did drugs. They had bongs, and man, they would sit on the roof and smoke the bongs. And you could see all the, down through a community, we were all working, and I could look down. Every one of them guys sitting there got a bong on the roof. They're all smoking dope. And I said, God, this is wrong. And what I did in wintertime, like it is right now, I wouldn't ride in the front seat of the truck because they would be smoking dope. I'd get in the back and sit back there and freeze, and they would mock me and make fun of it, me sitting in the back. I was sitting with the ladders and all that stuff going down the road. And I said, Lord, I want to do what's right. I want to get away from this stuff. I wanted them to see that there was something different in me. I wanted them to know that, man, I wasn't going to do the stuff that I used to do. And what happens is Christians get used to, like the Bible says, with a Lot, he got around Sodom and Gomorrah, and he was there so long that it vexed his righteous soul. And before long, you listen to their music. You listen to their jokes. You listen to these comedians on TV that's telling all kinds of filthy stuff. And before long, it'll vex you. It'll get a hold of you. Vex. And it'll get a hold of you, and you think, oh, ain't nothing wrong with that. I had people say, hey, preacher, you got to see this movie. My wife and I was at a guy's house. He said, you got to see this movie. And we went downstairs, and every other word was an F word. And my wife it was a war movie. And you know, I like war movies. And my wife leaned down. She goes, turn that filth off. And it hit me. I went, oh, yeah. Turn it off. It'll vex you. You go to the movies. They always put a bedroom scenes. They always put filth in there. And they even in the cartoons. Yeah. Anime. They put all that junk in there. Trying to vex you. The world's after you, man. But you can make your decision. The Bible says it vexes righteous soul. You know, this world, that's what they want to do. They want to vex you. They want to vex you. The Bible says being honest. Not deceitful. Look with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Look what it says. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not on the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. You've got to get a vision, man. The Bible says where there's no vision, people perish. You've got to get a vision. This is not all there is to life. This is not it. This is not just the things that we see is not it. One day we're going to live with God forever. He says, for this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. As next this 2018, I'll be turning 62. I told my wife the other day, I said, I'll be 62. I don't feel 62. I said, man. She goes, you look 62. But My wife always encourages me. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm teasing. She doesn't do that. For this cause we faint not. For our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And then it says our light affliction. You get to heaven, this what you're going through right now, is you're going to look at it and go, wow, that was nothing. That was nothing. Right now, it gets magnified. Oh, man, you got so bad. Everything's so bad. It's magnified. The world likes to magnify it. The devil likes to magnify it. It all depends on if you look through his glass. You got to get your eyesight and get your glasses on and look through things the way God looks at it. For we look not at things which are seen, but on things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. It says, don't faint. Don't faint. People pass out, faint. You know what happens when you pass out? Usually they break something on the way down. I've seen people faint, they always hit their head or break an arm or break a hip, a leg. When you faint, you're going to hurt yourself. And you're going to hurt yourself bad. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. You're going to reap. Depends on what kind of reaping you want to do. I don't want to do the reaping that we used to have. I don't want that kind of reaping. I don't want that wicked, bad mess that my family, ruined my family, killed my brother, put my other brother in prison, put me in prison at 18 years old. I don't want that kind of life no more. I know what the end thereof is. I want my children to reap the benefits of a mom and dad, a grandma and grandpa that loves God and just going to serve him.
Amen. Yep.
I got my eyesight a little higher than I used to be.
Yep. Thank God.
Don't faint and work. I mean, there's a work to be done. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. There's a work to be done, Faith Baptist Church. We got missionaries around the world. Can you imagine if the church falls apart? We got 59 missionaries rely on this church. I got cards sitting on my desk where missionaries saying, Dear Pastor Ryman and Faith Baptist Church, thank you for supporting us, keeping us on the field. If we faint, it's not just us, not just me. It's so many things. 2018, people make all kinds of pledges. They make all kinds of, resolutions. I don't usually do that. I just want to do better. I want to do better in my life living for God. I don't want to get old and grumpy. I don't get old and cranky. I don't get old and lose my joy. I want to get old with joy. And the Bible says, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. I want to rejoice with my wife. And her and I can sit back and say, well, thank you, Lord. I know we don't deserve this. But, Lord, what a blessing. Christmas Day, Brother Henry was at our house. We didn't know Samson was coming down. We didn't know Joe and Larissa and them was coming. And Samson told me, Dad, I can't come. I can't afford it. I said, I'll send you some money. He said, no, Dad, I need to stay here. I need to do this and this. And Chris didn't come, but we were sitting at the table. Brother Henry was sitting next to me. And all of a sudden, they walked through the door. Whoo! Tears ran down my face. Mama knew. She's a deceitful woman. She knew. She knew! But she kept a secret. One thing about it, I never thought she could ever keep a secret from me. She kept the secret. And man, the grandkids walked through the door. Israel texts me, Papa, eat some sausage biscuit and gravy for me. And I said, I will, son. And then right after that, they walked through the door. Mama, she makes a big spread on Christmas Day. She makes eggs. Any kind of eggs, any kind of meat, bacon, ham, all that stuff. Scrapple. I don't eat scrapple. How many here eat scrapple?
Amen.
I'll eat scrapple when there's nothing else to eat. But you know what scrapple is? Scrapple is after they cut up the meat, then it's thrown on the floor, and then they swept up, and then rather than to the trash can, it's, oh, let's make something out of this. They make something out of it, and it's called scrapple. Hey, I want to tell you something. How many of y'all like milkshakes? Y'all like milkshakes? I'm going to give you something to think about. Y'all like chocolate vanilla milkshakes? Brother Ken told me the other day, he used to be the manager at the Burger King right before you hit after you crossed the Bay Bridge. And as he became the manager, he said he went in there one day, and he said, when's the last time the ice cream machine was cleaned out? They said, we've never cleaned the ice cream machine. I mean, the milkshake machine. And Ken said, well, I'm manager. We're going to clean it. He said, preacher, you ain't going to believe it. He said, we cleaned that thing out. We found it was full of maggots. He said, every time you thought you was crunching ice, I want to encourage you when you go get a milkshake. And he said, he don't know how many times he said, I drank a milkshake from there and I crunched. Thought it was ice. Just frozen maggots. So that'll help you right there. That'll help you. Take your Bible, look in Second Thessalonians chapter 3. Second Thessalonians chapter 3. We'll have to close. Second Thessalonians chapter 3. Second Thessalonians chapter 3. Look here. That'll help you right there. I can see you now. Next time y'all go into Burger King. When's the last time y'all cleaned that machine? Yeah, you're right. You're right. Maggots in the scrap room. 3:13. Now, people try to get me back. I always go to Japanese on Friday nights. And they always tell me that's kitty cat. That's what that is, kitty cat. Yep. Look at this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And look at verse 12. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work, eat their own bread. Back up to verse 11. Actually, back up to verse 10. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command you, exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. I never forget, Dr. Upman drilled it in us, and I always like working, always have. I just can't help it, it's drilled in me. And Doc told us this, he said, Bob Jones Sr. said this, God never uses a lazy man. Never uses a lazy man or woman. Amen, brother, that's all right. It says, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Now, it says, don't be weary in well-doing, but it says you ought to be able to work a job. If you're able. It says, don't be weary. Now, we have a work for God. And what happens is people don't want to work for God. God's got a work for you to do. And it says we have a ministry. It says we have a ministry. Are you finding out what God wants you to do? We've had people in our church that said, I believe God wants me to do this ministry. God wants to do this ministry. When a person says that to me, I always say, okay, go ahead and do it. But what happens is they'll get mad because nobody else come along and help them. And they'll say to me, well, nobody else helped us. Well, I did. I encouraged you. I gave you what, I tried to help you any way I could. But when you told me that that was your ministry, do it. If I agreed to it and said, yeah, that's good, do it. But I've had people get mad because nobody helped. But they said, God want me to do this ministry. Then how come you ain't doing it? You've got a ministry. Everybody in this room has got a ministry. You ought to be finding out what it is and do it. 2018, don't be weary in well doing. For in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. Are you going to finish your course? The Bible says, run. It says, we run in the race. It talks about a Christian life is like a boxing match. The Christian life is like running in a race. You're not competing against anybody else. It's against yourself. What you're supposed to do is stay faithful at it. If you don't finish, we see a lot of Christians start, right? And before long, they'll sit down and let 20 years go by. Say, can they still finish the race? Yeah. But why waste 20 years?
Amen.
Why waste it? Keep on keeping on. 2018, man, a lot of challenges coming. A lot of opportunities, though. I want to see people saved. I want to see our church go forward. I want to see, man, you encouraged and the families united. Young couples getting married. We might have to bury some. I don't want to bury nobody. But this in reality will happen. I'm an optimist when it comes to people say, why do you help that person? Why do you care about that person? Because you know what? I try to look at them the way God sees it. What they could do if they just got right and did what's right. 2018, I don't write people off. Never have. I always try to see people get life together. I thank God for a pastor that didn't write me off.
Yeah,
and somebody didn't, they cared enough to help me. And you know what I did? I took the help and ran with it.
Yep.
You know what we're supposed to do? Take that help. Get in church. Get in your Bible. Get in prayer. Don't faint. Let's do something. 2018 coming up.
Amen.
Be here tonight. 6 o'clock. We're going to have a play. I don't know what else we're going to do.
Yep.
But we're going to try to serve God. We're going to try to keep going.
Amen.
Till the Lord come back. Pray for our country. Pray for our president. Pray for the Congress. The Senate. Pray for all of them. Pray, Lord, bless them. We want to see the Lord bless America.
Amen.
He has blessed. I heard Eddie said this morning, our country started out as a rebellion. It was. That's the truth. But I tell you what, we can finish till the Lord come back. Pray for America. Stay free. America is the greatest nation in all the world.
Yep.
Thank God for it.
Amen.
Father, thank you again this morning. My Father, for your word. Thank you, God, for my brothers and sisters. Lord, I